Yeah? If we look at the two sides of Al HaNiflim, there's a major difference between Purim and Hanukkah. Let's first of all start with Purim. B'Shushan HaBiyoy, She'omad Aleim Homod HaRoshel, B'kesh LaHashmid, LaHaroig, U'LaAbeid, Eskola HaYehudim, Minah Ve'ad Zokein. Meaning, an early day Hitler. I remember once, I was in the British Museum, I was asked to look up a certain river, which the Vilna Gaon brings in his writings, and couldn't find it in any of the writings, and I asked the girl at the counter, where can I find this river in Vilna? She said the most accurate of all would be the maps of the Third Reich, which we have downstairs in the map department. So I went down there, and sure enough, there with a big swastika in the corner was the whole area of Vilna, and we found the river straight away, but every single shtetl had a number next to it. Number of Jews in each shtetl, and at the bottom was a number. A number at the end that you could see how many Loyalenu they wanted to wipe out. They were Lahashman Ali's Kola Yehudim. Well, Haman was an early day Hitler like that. That was the side of the annihilation Loyalenu of the Shoya, which Haman had planned. But if you look at the right hand side, Parsha of Hanukkah, it's different entirely. Kishomad Aleim Haman Arosha, Lahashkichon Toyrosecho, Ulahaviro Mechuke Rosoynecho. Here was a different master plan. This was a master plan of Lahashkichon Toyrosecho, to take them away from Torah, to take away a spiritual life, Ruchnius life, Ulahaviro Mechuke Rosoynecho. An entirely different plan. How do we explain it? How can we look at Yovan and understand exactly what was the difference here? The Medrash in Parshas Bereishis brings down that there were four rivers which came out of Gan Eden. There was Pishon and Gihon, Chidekel and Poras. Four rivers which came out of Gan Eden. And the Medrash explains that Pishon was referring to Bovel. Poshu, they were like a bulldozer in the Beis HaMikdash. They charged in and they destroyed the Mokum of the Mikdash. Pishon. Pishon means to destroy. Gihon refers to Poras Umadai, Homan. Why? Because Al Gihon Lechoselech, they were like insipid underneath, like cool underneath, sinister inside. That was Gihon, that was Homan. Imala Melech Tov, Bola Abdom, and then Homan to a man and said, I'll give 10,000 shkolim in order to help you along. Money always talks. And that was Homan, that was Gihon. Yovan, say Chazal, was Chidekel, which we'll come onto in a second, and Poras refers to the goddess of Edoim. Poru, Hifriu, the assimilation which we see in America, which is the goddess of Edoim. But the question is, why is Yovan called Chidekel? What's behind Chidekel? I remember hearing from my brother, say Chazal, a beautiful pshat. Because the gezeiros of Yovan were Chad Vakal, sharp and light, meaning like a master surgeon. He can get in and get out and you don't even know that he's there. You don't even feel it. That's the nature of the gezeiros of Yovan. Yovan was chad and kal, sharp and light. Meaning, lahashkicham toyrosecha, lahavir mechukei yosanecha, was a geder of taking away, pulling away the lifeline, the spiritual lifeline of Klal Yisrael, and there was nothing left then. That's the idea behind it. And the Medrash brings out that they did it through circuses, through theatres, through pantomimes, through buildings, through drama, through sport, and everything was made in order to pull away from Klal Yisrael the whole connection that they had to anything spiritual. And that was Chad V'Kal. And the person can go into the culture, into the entertainment, the enlightenment which Yovan has to offer, and then you're left with nothing. It pulls away from all that you have. What we must do, therefore, is to try and understand exactly what is the difference between what Haman tried to do and what the Greeks tried to do. What exactly was the nature of this? We have to really go back to the time of when the bocha was given by Noach to Shem and Yofes, the two of them together. Shem and Yofes both came in. If you remember, first Ham came in to do his evil, and then Shem and Yofes came in, and Shem and Yofes came in and covered him up. And by covering him up, they received a bracha. Yakta Lakim Li Yefes VeYishkoim VeOhalei Shem. Both Shem and Yofes were both given the bracha of Yofi, of Chochmah. Yachta lekim le'efes, v'yishkan ba'alei shem. Meaning, they were given a gift of Chochmah, of beauty, of Yofes. And that was the difference between the two of them. The Yishkan ba'alei shem, all the koichas which Yovan had, was supposed to be in the Alei Shem, and therefore the beauty and the Yofi of culture, of intellect, was what was behind the whole Chochmah which they were granted. And it's a very, very enticing, enlightening, inspiring sort of Chochmah here. We're talking about music and sport and drama, which pulls a person away eventually from any connection to Ruchnias. It's like a cultural breeding which a person has. And once you have that, you can get pulled away and you don't even know that you've lost your Ruchnias. It's so powerful, it has such a draw on you that you can be left with nothing in the end. I remember when I was growing up in England, and there was someone who used to come and learn with me. Someone who came and learned with me, and he himself was a genius at languages. He used to come in, used to learn together on Shabbos afternoon. And we learned together, and then he was such a genius, he was given an open scholarship to Oxford to study language. He knew Italian and Spanish and German and French and English. He knew many languages. And the first year that he was in Oxford, I remember, he came back and learned with me, but he really wasn't interested. The second year, he never came in. I once saw him in town walking around without a cap on. And eventually, after the third year, never, he died of an overdose of drugs. He was so caught up in the student life, he was completely enraptured in it. And that's what happens. You lose your wolfness, you lose your connection to anything wolfness, and it can take it away from you. And that's the trap. That's the trap which there is. The trap behind the Chochmah of Yovan is that it pulls away in the professional glamour, in the whole elitism. It often leads to a lot of gaiva as well, a tremendous amount of gaiva behind it. The culture of sport and the culture of intellect and professionalism can lead to a tremendous amount. I remember as a child growing up, I was always affected by many of the professionals who were very, very full of pride of themselves, until one day I met someone called Dr. Adler in London, a tzaddik of a year. And his behavior was incredibly with anova, and his wisdom, behind his wisdom, was tremendous anova and yashamayim. But one of the traps of being a highly qualified professional is it comes with a gaiva. And that's the trap, and that's the chokhmah which Yovan has. I remember at the Levaya of Rav Moshe on Purim, if you were here in Israel at the time, we all waited outside Machane Yehuda for the God Lador to come. Rav Shach came along, and Rav Shach gave the following hesped and said that it was like a state of the nation, what he said. It's a beautiful address that he said. And he explained that we are now facing something called Azisa Inquisitia, a sweet inquisition. It used to be by Esav, was a bitter inquisition, but now we're facing something called a sweet inquisition. A sweet inquisition means they pull you in and you can lose all your ruchnias without even knowing it. Chad v'kal. And the chokhmah of Yovan can, in English they would say, goes to the jugular. It goes straight to the lifeline. Yovan was not interested like Bovel was. Bovel had a whole conception of destroying the Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar. What would Yovan have said to Bovel? They were foolish. Why destroy such a beautiful building? Keep it and just pull away by making gezeiros against Torah and Bris Milah and Shabbos and Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh. You take away the lifeline, but keep the facade outside. And that's what Yovan tried to do. Yovan tried to take away the Gashmir, the Ruchnias, and leave the Gashmir as it is. And that was their whole interest. To take away, to pull away the lifeline of Klal Yisrael. And that was Hellenism. That was why many Jews were affected by them. They were misyavnim by them as well. Many Jews became very enticed by this culture. I remember once, a certain circumstance, I was in a certain place where I saw the great Jewish composer, conductor Leonard Bernstein, teaching a group of young conductors in America how to play a certain piece of music. I don't know if you know classical music, but the piece of music was Spring by Vivaldi. I remember he was trying to teach them how the orchestra should play this piece of music. And he told them that in order to get your orchestra, in order to be interested in it, what you have to do is tell them before they play the piece to go out and think of nature and the sun and the meadow and the flowers and a beautiful spring morning, and then put it into the fiddle and fiddle that music in. And then you'll have inspiration to play the music. I remember I thought he was ingenious, but at the same time it was tragic. He was a Jew, and Lemaisa, he was forgetting the real source of it all. If you play to the one who made the sun, who made the spring, and made the flowers, that's much deeper. That's the deep depth behind it. And many people, unfortunately, in our times, as we've seen, have been pulled away through the culture, through the music, through the intellect. I know in England, where I come from, they have festivals of music, and Wimbledon, and sports, and Olympics, and all. And that culture eventually is so sharp and light, you don't even, before you even know it, you're intellectually inspired, and you're pulled away by it. And that's one of the traps which exist by them. Lamaisa, we're facing a very serious problem, because the Gemara brings down in Megillah that they allowed the Torah to be translated into Greek, because the language was so beautiful, the Gemara brings in Megillah, and also in Baba Kamma brings down that Revi allowed Greek to be spoken because it's such a pure language. So there is a certain beauty there. The problem is it's Yishkon Ba'alei Shem. It's living in the Ba'alei Shem, and because it's in the Ba'alei Shem, it's there, so there's a cloud, there's a trap inside the culture, which many people get caught on. Maybe we can explain this in the following way. In the halacha, which we have, whenever you see an Adam Godel in Klal Yisrael, you have to make a certain bracha. The bracha is, Asher cholak mechochmoso lireov. That's the bracha. If you would see Reb Chaim Kanevsky, or you would see an Adam Godel, the great Rosh Hashiva, you would say, Asher cholak, who gave a chelak of his chochma lireov to those people who fear him. What would happen if you would see, I don't know, Isaac Newton or Beethoven, and you would see these people, they're great people in secular world, you make another bracha. It's a different type of bracha. So Chassam Sofer explains the difference between Nosan and Cholak is, Cholak means a chelek of the whole. You have a chelek of Chochma. You have the real chelek is by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you have a portion of it. Lireya to those people have Yer Shomayim. Mashain came by Umas Ha'olam, when they have great chokhmah like Isaac Newton or these people, then it's not that, it's a gift, it's given to them. Like a giraffe has a long neck, so a person has a brilliant brain. It's a gift to that person. The question was asked to the Chassam Sofer, what happened? What bracha would you make if you would meet Albert Einstein? He was a Jew who had chokhmah of physics. So what bracha would you make? Would you make Asher Cholak or make Asher Nosa? So the Chassam Sofer, you don't make any bracha. Because by Jewish people, the chokhmah is a chelek. Ki Hashem yiten chokhmah. We believe that our chokhmah, our excellence, and our intellect is only by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you wouldn't make any bracha by a Jew who's brilliant in sciences, because our appeal and our attraction towards intellect is only because it came from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you remember, the Gemara brings down at the end of Nida, the Gemara says that the Anshei in Mitzrayim, Alexandria, asked of Yeshua ben Hanania, Ma yase odom v'yisasha. How does a person become wealthy? Well, let's start with the first one is Chochmah. How does a person become a Chochem? So Yeshua ben Hanania answered and said, well, he should be Yavebe Yeshiva v'yimayve Sfeira. Spend a lot of time in sitting down studying and spend little time in the office. So the answer said, "Habe also came below, also be yodom. Nothing happened. Said the Rabbi Yeshua, "Yeah, but you have to also mevakish rachamim ki Hashem yiten chachmi. You have to ask and daven for it as well. It's a chelik. It comes from my Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's a chelik of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have to ask for the chachma." And then the Gemara says, "My kamashman ha the lo ha lo also be yodom. One without the other, without tefillah, without coming to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, one is not successful. Similarly, mayas to adam yisasha. How does a person become rich and successful?" So they say, but Yahweh is Chayav and Mayav Yeshiva. So spend a lot of time in the office and you make a lot of money. So the Mahava also came and never made a dime. They're still bankrupt. So how come? No, Yevakesh Rachamim for me, Liach Kesed, but Liazor. You have to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu. By us, it's a chelik of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is. Our connection.
It's like the Nishon.
Yes. You have to. Exactly. You have to turn to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if you turn to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, then having turned to Him, then we see, because we have a chelik of it. A chelik means a portion of the whole. So what we're coming to is the conclusion, and this is what we see, is the difference between the Chochmah and the Yofi of Yavan and the Chochmah and the Yofi of Klal Yisrael. Our Yofi comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting that the national emblem, they say, of a Klal Yisrael is a menorah, and the national emblem of Greece is an olive. What's the difference between the two? An olive is intrinsically bright by itself. But by us, it's a menorah. A menorah receives the light. It receives the light. We put into the menorah. So the menorah is a receptacle for the light, not necessarily a light by itself. It's interesting that the Yovan is the masculine, and Klal Yisrael often compared to a Yonah. So the feminine is a Yonah with a hay at the end. A woman receives something. A Yonah receives. Hashem, a Yonah is brilliant by itself. That's the difference between the two. Yovan is intrinsically brilliant, but by Klal Yisrael, it's not like that. We work on the basis of what we receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Yofi and the Chochmah, which they received, is not the same as what we have. We have a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the way we regard the Chochmah and the Yofi that we have. The question is, how in our times, how does a person survive this tremendous secular revolution which takes place? Which a person goes to university or studies or becomes a professional, there is an enormous trap. And the trap is, you can get caught up in the Western, in the Greek philosophy, the sciences, or the political sciences, the economics, the drama, the sport, and you can lose, like my friend did, you can lose all your connection to anything spiritual. It's so sharp and light, yes.
Is America, United States, compared to Rome at all? Or Greece?
I think that the philosophy of Greece is still there. Certainly the philosophy is still there. It's all Greek. In other words, the sciences, a person makes a basic panosa. The problem is how much involved. How much involved is a person? How much does he get involved in the culture? If it becomes part of his lifeline, the culture then becomes so dangerous. Then he can lose it all. Chad v'kal. It becomes sharp and light, and you can lose very often your connection to
all.
It's Rome. It's Rome, but it has still the vestiges. It still has the remnants of Greece culture which comes out from it. It's interesting, Rabbi Yisai, that every year when we come to Hanukkah, we're always involved with Yosef. Yosef was called Yafei Toyah Bifei Mara. He was Yafei Ma'od. And we know Yakta Lakim LeYefes, Greece, which comes from Yefes, was given the gift of Yosef in the name. The name explains who they were. They were Yafei. And therefore, Yosef is always a match every year. Kimat, every year, we're dealing with the parashas of Yosef when it comes to Hanukkah. He was Yafei Toya, Yafei Mara. Chazal say that the Arizal brings down that the Rosh Yitzchak of Yosheim, Yafei Toya, Yafei Mara. He was a Yosheim, and in the Yosheim, says the Arizal, with all the Nisyonis of his life, were always around beauty. He himself was Yafei Toya, Yafei Mara. He came from a woman who was Yafei Toya, Yafei Mara. Apparently, Ashes Potiphar also made herself look Yafei Toya Yafei Mara. If you remember, the women of Mitzrayim would throw all their jewelry on him just to get him to look. His greatest Nisayan was this Yafei Toya Yafei Mara. This is what he had. I was thinking to myself, Shabbos, even the cows were Purim Yofos, which he interpreted were also Yofos. Everything was Yofi by Yosef. So the Nisayan that he faced was always with Yofi. That was the Nisayan. And he's always a match for Hanukkah. And the beauty of the Greeks was their Yofi as well. And yet we see, the Zohar brings down, Omer Pinchas, Miyom Sha'ola Al Daitoi, Ad Yom Moisoi, La Poska Mimen Ruach HaKodesh. Despite all the Yofi that Yosef had, nevertheless, behind it all was a tremendous Kedusha, it was the Kodesh Kedoshim. We know that the protection that Yosef had in Mitzrayim protected all the men in Mitzrayim by Tzniyas, because he was so careful of Tzniyas. So therefore, the lesson of Jewish Yofi, of the Ben Tola's Yofi, is to take it from Yosef himself. Yosef's beauty. If you look at some of the Psukim, nearly every time Yosef opens his mouth, we always find Kedusha coming out. When he goes into the house of Potiphar, Vayhi Hashem et Yosef, Vahashem Hitzliach Dalko. In front of Eishes Potiphar, Vachotosi Lelokim, every time he mentions Hashem. In the Beit HaSorah, Vayhi Hashem et Yosef, Hashem was with Yosef, Vayipen Chaim. Look again, when he interprets the dreams, he turns around and says to Paro, Bila Hashem Yan. Always he mentions HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem. When he was misguided to his brothers, Ki L'michya Sholchani. Every time Yosef mentions HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning behind the great Yofi of Yosef was a tremendous amount of Kedusha behind it in his behavior. When Yaakov died, he then turned around and said, Hasachas Elokim Oni. Every time Yosef mentioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we see behind the Yofi was tremendous Kedusha. That's why we say he was called Yosef HaTzadik. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomid. He had tremendous Kedusha behind everything that he did. I remember once hearing from Avdon Segel a beautiful explanation. He said that all the parshas of the winter are all wearing an overcoat, a palva, because it's cold. So if you take off the parshas, like for example, you come to Yaakov with Esau. What was Yaakov doing here with the Adoshim? What was he doing here? Was he giving the food? Was he swindling him? You have to understand a little bit what was behind Yaakov's motive. If you know what Yaakov's motive was to take the Bechayah, the Kedusha, because Esau wasn't loyal for it. But you have to take the coat off. You have to see what's behind the covering. When you come to Yosef, you think he was the Talsa, the Sarai, and he looked after his eyes, and he was just a playful guy, only looking interested in his looks. But if you look deeper, you see Yosef had tremendous Kedusha behind him. And that's the lesson. Take off the coat and see who Yosef was from behind, and then you realize what the Kedusha was of Yosef there.
The brothers took off the coat, did they see the Kedusha?
They didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize who Yosef was. That was the point. What we have to do, therefore, is in order to understand what beauty is in the eyes of a Ben Torah, we have to understand what does the word Yifei Torah, Yifei Maran mean in our terminology. The Gaon in Megillas Esther explains that Yifei Torah, like by Esther, Yifei Torah Yifei Maran, means a certain type of look. Yifei Torah is physical beauty, like a beautiful hand, a beautiful eye, a beautiful ear, is limbs very symmetrical and perfectly formed. That's Yifei Torah. Yifei Maran is the overall look. Says the Vilna Gaon, it's a moshul. Yifei Torah is a moshul to perfect mitzvahs which are done. Mitzvahs, ma'aser mitzvahs which are done perfectly. Yifei Torah refers to midas tovos. Yifei Torah is perfect features, which is perfect mitzvahs, and Yifei Torah is midas tovos. And that's the difference, that's the meaning behind it. Meaning that as much as Esther and certainly Yosef was very beautiful on the outside, nevertheless, inside there was Maaser Mitzvahs done perfectly and Midas Tovos which was done. It's interesting, if you look at the Pesukim a little later, when Achashverosh looked for a second wife, so the boys turned around and said to him that we have to find a Ubikesh Lamelech Naras Besunos Tovos Mare, just a beautiful looking girl, just a pin-up, nothing more, just a beautiful face. He didn't need more than that. He didn't need the perfection in detail. He just needed a look which looked Tovas Mare, but not more than that. The Basula who was Tovas Mare. And therefore, we learn that behind the Yifei Torah Yifei Maran, in beauty in the eyes of a Ben Torah, refers to inner beauty and the Pnimius. And that's what we must look for when we come to describing what Yofi is in the eyes of a Ben Torah. On the outside, it must look very, very nice, apparently, Yifei Torah. But inside, the Pnimius and the Neshama of the person is Kulei Kodesh. And that's what's behind the Yofi that we have here. Let me give you a beautiful example, which we see in the Torah Kedoshim. Beautiful example of where this comes out. In Shir HaShirim, when we describe the Beis HaMikdash, which was built by Shlomo HaMelech. So, listen to these psukim here, of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the psukim, in Perek Gimel Pasuk Tes, Hyperion Osa LaHamelech Shlomo. Shlomo made the canopy, it means the base of Mikdash, me'atzeh halavonoid, from the cedar wood of Lebanon. Listen to this in description, what it looked like. Amudav osa kesef, the pillars were made of silver. V'pidosai zov, the seat, which refers to the Kodesh Kodoshim, the Aron, was made of gold. Melkova algoman, and the hangings were purple. Can you imagine anything more beautiful? Silver pillars, a golden seat, and purple hangings, which are hanging inside the Beis HaMikdash. That's only on the outside. The Toicho Lots of Ava, Mibanois Yerushalayim. Inside, inlaid in all the fixtures and furnishings, was Ava inside. Not just the outer appearance, but the Toicho. The Toicho was beautiful in Ava, the Ava on which Klal Yisrael built the Beis HaMikdash. We find the same thing, if you remember, by building HaMishkan. When it came to the building of the Mishkan, the five parashas of Terumah Tetzaveh and Kisisa VaYakov Pikudei all describe three circumstances. How do you build the Mishkan? The materials were given, the Nediva slave. Not just giving them, Nediva slave, because they wanted to give, the lave. The Chochmah in building it was Chochmah slave. Chochmah slave is not just brilliance. Batala wasn't just a clever technical designer. No, he had Chochmah slave. He had Yerushalayim in his Chochmah. And the women and people who came to do all the work in it had something called Nasiya's lathe, the lathe. They had an uplifted heart, they had initiative to do it. So we see in the building of the Mishkan, there was not just the Nadibas, but the Chochmah and the Nadibas. The lathe means the Ahava. And the Ahava went into building what the Mishkan came out to be. And that's what you see by the Beis Hamikdash as well. Toicho Rotz of Ahava means that the building itself had tremendous heart in it, the heart, and that's the pinyus, and there's the beauty. The beauty is not just the outer, the purple curtains or the golden seat of the Kodesh Kodashim. It did look beautiful, but that's not the only point. The point was the Teicho Rotz of Ahava, the inside, what it looked like. By Umas Ha'olam, you also have beautiful features on the outside. Everything which they do by Umas Ha'olam is also very beautiful. But let me say, look at something which you said this morning in Davening and Hallel. By the Umas Ha'olam, everything that they have in Lo'ilonu, in Kuftesvov, is Atzabehem, their images that they make, is Kesef and Zohar. What they look up to and what they admire is silver and gold. Masa Yideyodom, which is made by man. Pe'elohem v'lodat yilo yidabeu. Really, they have a mouth and they don't speak, but they do speak. Einayim lehem v'lo yil'u. Their eyes see, but they don't really see. Oznayim lehem v'lo yish. They have ears, but they don't really hear. They have a nose, but they don't really smell. What does this mean here? They have hands, but they don't feel. What does David HaMelech mean here? These are the idols which they make. And they are the same. The Umay HaOlam are exactly the same as the idols that they make. They also, Kesef and Zov, but they have eyes, they have the speech, they have ears. What does it mean? It means, Rabbi, that they're only working at half or quarter potential. When you say they have eyes, they only have eyes to look at a movie, to look at a scene, to look at money. They only have a nose to smell perfume. They only have fingers to feel the money. They're not in contact with any spiritual connection. And therefore, all the faculties that they have, the speech and the eyes and the ears, are all external. It's not spiritual. And therefore, there's no toicho, there's nothing inside. And that's what's missing by the Umas Ha'olam. Kamoyim, you are saying, they are like the idols that they make. Everything is man-made, and everything's only physical on the outside. There isn't any pnimius behind it all. Therefore, if we begin to understand what we mean by Yofi, we're in touch with the idea that there must be pnimius. Beauty in Torah, per ben Torah, is not just the outside, but it's the inside as well, the pnimius. And the pnimius is the most important of all. Once you have the pnimius, the kedusha inside, then we understand. That's Yosef in Mitzrayim, and that's the beauty which we mean also when we say by Nashus Chayil, remember healing by Rav Pam. Rav Pam was asked by many Talmidim, but all the Amoris were beautiful women. Saul was a beautiful, Bivka was a beautiful woman, Bacha was a beautiful woman. So Rav Pam used to say, yeah, but the apostle Shekha Achein Beheba La Yofi. What does it mean? So Rav Pam, Yofi by itself is a zero. When it says, Heat is Halol, V'yiras Hashem, Heat is, He is the digit. Yofi by itself is a zero. But if you have the he is the digit before the zero, and therefore it's a zero by itself, the yofi. But when you have a numeral by it, a number by it, then it becomes something, and that the he is halel is the kayach of the vuchnis, which is behind it, which is the yoshamayim, which goes behind it. If we understand this concept, and this is what we mean by the idea of beauty in the eyes of a ben Torah, I'd like to say something, I hope I'm not being too cynical, but maybe we can say something like this. You can be a Haredi Greek style, meaning that you can take a beautiful, what would the Greeks say about a beautiful shaitel, a beautiful black hat, or a long payers, or a beautiful kaftan? If you say beautiful, very nice, deep, what's wrong with it? What would the Greeks say about a smorgasbord or cholent or gefilte fish? It's wonderful. What would they say about, I don't know, Shweki or Avon Fried? Beautiful music, everything is beautiful, keep it. What would they say, I'm not trying to be cynical, I'm just trying to make a point. What would they say about a beautiful Ohen Kodesh made of mahogany wood or silver? They say, beautiful, keep it all, it's very nice. It all has a hechsher, but it's not kosher. If you only look at the external and the physical, and you don't look inside to see the pnimius, you're left with a yofi of Greece, and you're not there in contact with the real beauty. The beauty of the Ohr Kodesh is not just the outside, it's the Torah which is inside. It's not just the beautiful mezuzah box which you have, but the klal which is inside. You do make it beautiful on the outside, but the outside is only a covering for the pnimius inside. Once you understand that, then you're in contact with the real yofi of what Torah means, when you touch the inside, the pnimius of it. You can be a Haredi Greek style. You can have a beautiful silver, beautiful cloth, silk tablecloth for Shabbos, the beautiful candlesticks, and beautiful food, but it can be Greek, because if you concentrated only on the outside, the external trimmings, you didn't go any further. You didn't graduate into what real beauty is behind.
Is that what the Yafet was? The outside?
Only outside. Yafet Torah. Isha Yafet Torah was only...
Why did they allow it?
No,
why
because
allow,
we're going to have another time, Mendel, because that's what...
That has nothing to do with this?
No. Well, let's keep to this. In other words, the pnimius, once you see the pnimius, the inside, and that's the beauty which we look for. The Ben Torah sees the beauty on the outside, but his concentration is on the inside, to see what's inside there. And that's
Yaptalakim, the...
Yaptalakim means... Yefet means Greece. Greece. Yes, but it means Greece. It means Yaptalakim li Yefes, the Yishkan Baalei Shem. Yefes there.
Or maybe Baalei, like Hine Sara Baalei.
Ken. I don't think it's necessarily just talking about the feminine. It's talking about Greece. Yaptalakim li Yefes. They were given the gift of beauty. And that beauty was given to them like Shem was given beauty. They were also given because they covered up Noach. But the difference between the beauty of Shem and the beauty of Yefes is it has to go deeper. And that's what Shem's beauty is not just Chochmah, it's the Menorah. It holds the Chochmah. It has the Ruchnius behind it. Once you have the Ruchnius behind it, then it leaves the shell on the outside and you see something much, much deeper, much deeper there. Therefore, maybe we can give a new definition of what Chanukah means. The meaning of Chanukah is Chinuch. At the beginning of the year, straight after Sukkot, we come to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which is the Yom Tov where a person is mechanech himself, to train himself to see deeper and to look at what the pnimius is of Torah and mitzvahs, rather than just the outside. If you remember the Loshen by Eliezer, he was chanichov, he was mechunach in mitzvahs by Avraham Avinu. So chinuch means something deeper, something which you implant in somebody. Meir Shapiro, Zechut HaBrach, this week we'll be celebrating the Siyum HaShas. Meir Shapiro was said that the purpose of chinuch is for something which comes out years and years later. And the chinuch which a person picks up from Chanukah maybe comes out later during the year. If a person realizes not to concentrate on the external look, like the Yefes side of it, but the Shem side of it, the Yofi of the beauty of what's internal in there. Maybe that's why the Pasuk says, Chanuch lena'a pidalka gam ki yazkin layosem yumenu. When he gets old, he won't leave you, because he received the chinuch when he was a younger person. And that's where our concentration must be, to look deeper and not to get caught with the external beauty which we see on things. Therefore, let me explain something to you. Maybe we can look at it both objectively and subjectively. On an objective manner, the Reb Chaim Volozhin asked the Vilna Gaon, why is it on the Oron there were three boxes? Why three boxes? What do we need three boxes for? So the Gaon explained to him that the box on the outside, which was gold, and the box on the inside represented the Torah. Inside was the wood, which is Odom. Odom is between the outer box and the inner box. The outer box represents Torah's Nigla, Chumash, Mishnayos, Shulchan Aruch that you see. Odom is inside the outer box, but outside the inner box, said the Vilna Gaon, the inner box is Torah's Nisar. The depth of Torah, man is outside the pnimius of Torah. He can't get into the pnimius of Nisar. That's beyond him. It's too much. He doesn't get... The depth of Torah is so deep, said the Gaon, that the Odom is outside the inner box, but inside the outer box. To tell you that the depth of Torah is so deep that the pnimius of Nisar, that we don't get. Only the chitzonius of Nisar, that's what we get. So we have to appreciate the depth behind Torah. Torah has tremendous pnimius inside it. And that's the beauty that we have to try and look for, especially in the Nigla. We are able to do that. A man is capable of appreciating the pnimius of Nigla behind the Mishnah, what's the Swar behind the Mishnah. And also he can appreciate the external features, but to just appreciate the depth behind it all. What's our chinuch, subjectively? What must we try and do? What must be our plan? You remember the definition in Tehillim, which is said by a Talmid Chacham, Yofiyofisa Mibnei Odom, Hutzak Chein Besifsoi Secha. A Talmid Chacham is described with tremendous Chein. What is Chein? Chein is inner beauty. Chein is something which is much deeper. And that's the definition of a Talmid Chacham. A Talmid Chacham is Mechunach in Chein. That all the limudim that he has, it has to go inside. He's not just to collect information. He's supposed to grow in Yerush Shomayim, the Midas Tovus. And that's what it means. Veishas Chachma Yeras Hashem. The actions are reflected by his Torah that he learned. It's not just we're not creating a genius of a wizard who knows all the information. It must go inside. The chain is the pnimius of the Torah inside, which goes inside a person, and that's the chinuch of Hanukkah. That whatever Torah we learn, whatever we pick up in mitzvahs, the outside is important. Of course, I'm not saying the physical outside is a very major part of the mitzvah, but the pnimius of the mitzvah, why am I putting on tefillin? Why am I making a bracha? Why am I putting on a mezuzah? Why am I careful about Shabbos? If you connect with the pnimius of the mitzvahs, then you reach the real beauty behind it. I was thinking, maybe that's the reason why when we say on Chanukah, Peyot Lamed, Mizmah Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'Dovid, how does it end up? Which is the Perek of Chinuch that we have before during the days of Chanukah. Look at the last pasuk, Lema'an, so that everything that you do in Torah mitzvahs is Amercha Chavoid. If you know a little bit, that the Chavoid in Tehillim refers to the Neshama, Ura Kavoidi Hanevo. Chavoid means the Neshama. The man is Amercha Chavoid. In all that you do, the Neshama should sing the Loyidam and not be silent. If you look at too many movies, if you look at too many things external, then your neshama becomes silence, it becomes doim. Hashem Elokein la'olam oydecha. The tachlis is, from Chanukah and the chinuch of beauty, is that the kavod, the neshama, which is the real pnimius of a person, gains song and gains life. La'olam oydecha, I will always praise you, meaning the pnimius comes out, the neshama comes out, and that's the chinuch that we have to reach for in Chanukah. If we can train ourselves always to look deeper into Torah, deeper into a pasuk, deeper into understanding the words of Chazal, once we reach the pnimius, then you reach the yofi of Torah, and that's the lesson I think which Chanukah can give us in the Tashem.